suppose it's true to say that certain slogans impress themselves upon our minds for whatever reason. Maybe just a few people, maybe impress upon the minds of many in society. There was a slogan on Friday morning. I was going to collect the turkeys for yesterday. And as I parked my car, got out, and was walking down the street, in somebody's window was a slogan that I remembered from a number of years ago. And, apparently, I did check later, it was from 1978, was the first time that it appeared. It was the Dogs Society that produced it, and I'm sure you all know what the slogan was: a dog is for life, and not just for Christmas. The objective of that slogan was to raise, I suppose in particular, the awareness of parents of the potential dangers and pitfalls of treating dogs as gifts. The number of unwanted dogs rocketed, probably still does, January, February, March sort of time after the novelty has worn off. We all know from experience, maybe we have been guilty of this when we were younger, how the most desired for and longed for toy can within maybe only a few days, possibly a few weeks, be discarded and abandoned. It's lost that sparkle. Within a matter of days, it's reached its sell-by date, its best-by date. It was great in our minds. It was maybe great when we saw we'd finally got it. But then life moves on. Other things become more important. And we've discarded it. We've forgotten about it. It's abandoned. Well, that particular slogan was, of course, designed, "A dog is for life, not for Christmas," to ensure that that sort of thing didn't happen to dogs. It didn't become a real problem. But what about the Lord Jesus? What about Jesus? I remember watching it. It was obviously a clip. I think it was a clip of Christmas Moments. Probably a year or so ago, maybe last Christmas, and on this particular clip, it was one of the Blue Peter clips. And it was that time of year, you remember how they always used to have a craft section within the programme, and it was time to make the nativity scene out of different household objects. And the presenter, I think it was Connie Hack is her name, or Hook, was the presenter, and she'd made a baby Jesus. I think she'd used one of the old-fashioned pegs and made whatever else, the clothes, whatever, for Jesus. And she held it up to the camera and she said, "Here's baby Jesus, isn't he nice?" Something like that. Well, it seems to me that that's how all too many people leave Christmas. Leave the Christmas story. "Here's baby Jesus. Oh, isn't he nice?" I want to tell you that the Bible is very clear that what we call the Christmas story is far more than just, "Here's the baby Jesus. Isn't he nice?" I'm going to pinch the slogan that I saw in that house window on Friday morning. I'm going to just adapt it to the Bible's message about Jesus. Jesus is for the whole of our lives. He's not just for Christmas. In fact, to be accurate, I suppose I ought to say Jesus is for the whole of eternity. After our life ends here, he's not just for Christmas. And there are three things that I want to suggest to us that we need to do, and three things we need to grasp, three things we need to understand, if we're really going to see and grasp and understand that Jesus is for life, and he's not just for Christmas. There's something we need to start doing, and there's something, by God's grace, will flow from that, that we can begin to enjoy. Firstly, that there's something we need to stop doing. The Bible's very clear on this. The Bible tells us we need to stop ignoring Jesus. And the reason we need to stop ignoring Jesus is because he is above every other person in the world. He is from above, from heaven, and that makes him above all. Because he is from heaven, because he is God, he is above every other human being who has ever lived. And therefore it is so important that we pay more attention to him than anybody else. Last year, it was the Queen's Jubilee, wasn't it? And part of her celebrations, whether she enjoyed it or not, but she attended, for the first time, a cabinet meeting. It was reported that, I don't know why you should need to do this to the cabinet. I mean, some of the most intelligent, influential people in the country, but it was reported that instructions were sent out that they all needed to make sure that they were dressed properly, had their best presumed suit, dress, whatever on, all polished their shoes, suspect except Ken Clark, because he wears Hush Puppies, doesn't he? But the rest of them had all polished their shoes. That men are expected to make sure that their ties were tied straight, that they were tied neatly. And I'm sure they were all instructed that when Her Majesty entered the cabinet room, that none of them just sat there and nodded, that they all stood, they all rose, and they all greeted her whatever way was appropriate. I'm sure that they were all on their best impeccable behaviour that day. I suspect when Her Majesty spoke that none of them interrupted her. I suspect that none of them mocked or laughed at anything that she said. I suspect they all listened intently. And I suspect when it was time for Her Majesty to leave, they all stood and said and did whatever is appropriate. She would have been treated as her dignity, as her position demanded. Look how Jesus is described here. In verse 31, the one who comes from above is above all. And then at the end of the verse, the one who comes from heaven, it's where above is, from heaven, is above all. So why should we stop ignoring Jesus? And why should we begin paying close attention to Jesus? It's simple, because of where he comes from. Because of who he is. That declaration that's made in John's Gospel is very clear. It's saying Jesus is unique. It's saying there's nobody else like Jesus. It's saying Jesus is in a class of his own. At Christmas time, they always have various polls conducted, don't they? What's the best ever Christmas number one? It's either Band-Aid, or I suppose the one that's still played all the time, the Slade version, Slade song, Happy Christmas Everybody. Or they will have the polls each year, what's the best song ever? And there's usually the same three songs. There obviously have been many good songs written in the last 30 odd years. It's usually the top three. Imagine by John Lennon, Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen, Stairway to Heaven, Led Zeppelin. But they're the song always come out on the poll. Tonight, I think it's tonight, isn't it? It's the sports personality of the year. And people will have an opinion and people will vote. I think there are 10 people that have been shortlisted. So I suppose you might think, well, Mo Farah's achievements. Last year, double Olympic champion, this year, world champion. Might be AP McCoy, the jockey. You like horse racing or not, but 4,000 winners, a phenomenal feat. Or whether it's Andy Murray, won Wimbledon, amazing feat, in and of itself that'll probably get it for him. But people have an opinion, and people will vote. As the one who is above all, we are being told, aren't we, that Jesus is head and shoulders above everyone else in all the universe. There's a sports personality of the year every year. But the Bible is clear that the Lord Jesus is head and shoulders above everybody in the universe every single year. If you go into a bookshop and you go to the faith section, you'll see the Bible alongside various different religious books. Books about Muhammad, books from the Hindu faith, books about Buddha, books about Confucius, books about New Age, all manner of different books. And there's a very clear impression given when you're looking at the shelf with all these different religious books. It's that Jesus, he's just one among many alternatives who might have something useful to say about your religious need or your religious situation. But the Bible's message is very clear. Through his birth, through his perfect life, through his sacrificial atoning death, through his resurrection, through his ascension, through his interceding now at the Father's right hand, and through his promised return, he is head and shoulders above every other religious figure. He's the one that we must pay the most close attention to. Can you imagine? You might have to stretch your imagination now, but can you imagine Her Majesty writes to me, "Dear Jonathan, I'd like to invite you to come and live in the palace for a few weeks." Ah, that'd be great. So off I go down to Buckingham Palace, take my suitcase, show them best room, best quarters. You know, you can live here for a few weeks. That's what I do. I see Her Majesty walking round and she always stops and says, "Hi, Jonathan." But all I just ignore her. I just walk by. I have no interest in her. Not bothered. I'm there now. I'm invited to eat with her. No, it's all right. I'd rather eat on my own in my own room. I decide that out of all the rooms in there, the one sofa I like is the one that the Royal Corgis sit on. Come on, I'm sitting there. Maybe if you had Royal Rottweilers, I might be a bit more careful, but Royal Corgis you don't have to bother about so much. Now, after a while, I decided, I'm going to treat the palace as my own. I'm not a guest. This is it. This is mine. I start rearranging things. I do what I want. I'm sure you'd all agree that Her Majesty would have every reason to be displeased with me. What I might do in my imagination to the palace, treat it as my own. What I might do to Her Majesty, just ignore her, is actually what the vast majority of people will do to God this Christmas. It's actually what the vast majority of people do to God's world every day of their lives. What the Bible calls sin, it is not just about doing bad things. It's living our life as if God doesn't exist. It's pushing God out of our life. It's ignoring God. It's exactly what I was doing to Her Majesty, in living at Buckingham Palace. It's ignoring Jesus, who is God. It's ignoring the one person in the universe who we should be paying the closest attention to. So the first thing about Christmas is that we need to stop ignoring Jesus. And we need to start listening to him. And we need to start believing what he says. Secondly, there's something to start. It's much briefer. If you wanted to, say, go on holiday to Derbyshire, there'd be no point in speaking to somebody who'd never been there, who actually didn't have a clue where it was. If you wanted to know about places to go and see, if you wanted to know about maybe things to go and watch or places to stop, things like that, how to get about, you're no good talking to somebody who'd not got a clue about the place. I was born and brought up there. So it would make far more sense to come and talk to me about those things. Because I know the place. I know what happens there. And you can transfer that to many, many different situations where maybe you're more of an expert on it than anybody else here because you're familiar with that. You know, it's like if you wanted to learn to play the piano. That last person you come and talk to, I haven't got a clue about it. Talk to Janet. Something like that, isn't it? This is what the Bible says to us. Verse 31, the one who comes from heaven is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard. And then the sad bit. But no one accepts his testimony. There's lots of misunderstandings about God. There's lots of misunderstandings about heaven. There's lots of misunderstandings about how you get to heaven. Who can tell you with absolute authority about all those things? Well, the one who came from heaven, the one who is above all, Jesus. Jesus came from heaven. But here's the real tragedy, right at the end of verse 32. So few are interested. The Bible's clear. If you want to know what God says on any subject, the best person to listen to is Jesus. My fear is that many people this Christmas time, maybe many people that will come into this building over Christmas time, that they'll like the children's nativity play. They'll like listening to the carols that we sing. They'll like listening to the carols in the shops. There's nothing wrong with that. They'll like the carol by candlelight service. But the most important thing any of us, anybody can do who comes into this building over Christmas, is to listen to the testimony of Jesus himself. So that we might accept that testimony, and so that they might believe it. The reason is because Jesus constantly spoke about the fact that he was God, he had come from God, and that he was the only way to God. It's the only way to heaven. That's something we need to start doing. And lastly, something that we can enjoy, the gift of eternal life. I said there's something we need to start doing, ignoring God. I said there's something we need to start doing, listening to Jesus. Well, if we do both of those, there is something that, by God's grace, we might be able to enjoy. And it's what the Bible calls eternal life, instead of God's wrath. Verse 36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. Now when you read that verse, it sounds really dramatic, isn't it? Maybe even here this morning, there's some people here that are possibly thinking, listen, Jonathan, a bit over the top. I just want to enjoy Christmas in my own way. I don't need you to tell me what Christians believe about Christmas. I don't need you to tell me that what Christians believe about Christmas is actually not just for Christmas, but it's for the rest of my life. In fact, it's actually important for my eternity. Two words in that verse that really mean it's so important we listen to the words of Jesus. God's wrath. His right and fair anger against human rebellion. It's what we deserve for ignoring God in our lives. And the message of this verse, the message of these verses, to be honest, that I've read, is that Jesus came into this world to do something quite amazing. He came into this world as a human being. He came as a baby. He came to live a perfect life, and then he came to die. And that's what he did. He died on a cross. Somehow, we don't know how, but somehow, while he was on the cross, he was able to bear the penalty of the sin of all those who in all ages would put their trust in him. We may say God pointed the arrow of his wrath at his son and let go of it. Somehow he paid the price of our sin. That's why it's so wrong to leave Jesus in the manger at Christmas. He grew up to fulfill a plan. His coming to earth was so that we may have a relationship with God. We believe in him, if we repent, if we change our ways, if we trust in him, if we allow him to have rule over every part of our lives. It doesn't happen that often, but every so often it's happened. A couple have come to me and said they want to talk about getting married. And I hopefully can tell them a few things that are helpful. I hope I can guide them in some areas. I can make a few suggestions to them. I hope I can point them in the direction of a few useful books. But one of the things I've always said is that you can only ever really know what it's like to be married once you're actually married. Now, that have been married will know that to be the case. The only real preparation for marriage is to be married. The only real preparation for children is actually when you've got children. People can talk to you about it, and you know, they can say the good things, they can a few words of warning, but it's only really when you get children you know what it's like to have children. I suppose more solemnly, you only really know what it's like to be a widow or a widower when you're actually in that position yourself. You only actually know, I use it as an illustration because somebody told me this week they'd done it, you only actually know what it's like to skydive once you've done it. Hey, this guy could describe to me what it was like, but it's only actually when you've done it you really do know what it is like. Now, those four illustrations I've just given you, they're all true. You can't really understand them until you've experienced them yourself. And that's exactly the same. That's exactly true of Jesus' promise of eternal life. Eternal life doesn't begin in eternity. We are eternal, our souls are eternal. God's gift of eternal life is received and experienced and begins to be known the moment we become Christians, the moment we put our trust in Jesus. I want to say to you, you will never be able to experience that relationship with God, eternal life. You will never be able to know that until you do the three things on that screen. You stop ignoring Jesus. You start listening to Jesus and you believe his word. You have a relationship with him. And then you can start enjoying that gift of eternal life. You've got to do all three. No good just doing one. Got to do all three. It's no good just stopping ignoring Jesus if you don't start listening to him. It's no good listening to him if at other times you're going to ignore him. Got to do all three. I want you to see why Jesus is for the whole of your life and for eternity. He's not just for Christmas. Words of our last carol, I think it's in the second verse. He came down to earth from heaven. Who is God and Lord of all? If that's true, if he, Jesus, came down to earth from heaven, who is God? He is God and Lord of all. If that's true, he must be very important. He must be worth listening to. And what he says must be worth investigating. I'm going to say, don't take my word for it. Read what Jesus says for yourself. And let him speak to you this Christmas time. Amen. I'm going to close by singing that carol together, Once in Royal David's City.